It is certainly good to see you out here this evening. I trust that you've come tonight with an open mind, that you've come tonight to study God's Word, to praise His name, to be together, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Who will fill your shoes? You ever think about this? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder about the church here at Mount Carmel, wherever you go, 50, 75, 100 years from now? Who will be here? Who's going to carry on? Who's going to do the work? They may remember your name. Finally. They may think about what you did, what you told them. You've got good memories of people that's gone on, haven't you? I've had stories of people, I won't mention their names up here tonight, that's gone on, people I never knew. I remember Brother Brown talking about one brother in particular. I won't mention his name, but Brother Brown had real good memories of that brother. He mentioned him numerous times to me. And we got good memories too of people. What they stood for, what they lived for. And when they died, we had hopes of their life. But what about my life? What about your life? Am I going to live a void? You know, I worked out my power company nearly 38 years. When I left, you think they missed me? No, they didn't miss me. They just see you right in. The lights keep on burning. Oh, sure they do. And I'm glad they do. Oh, yes, I'm glad they do. We want to carry on, but we want the church to go on. We want the work to be done. We don't want it to die out, do we? The thing is, if it's going to go on, we've got to do something now with our life, because I don't want to come to the close of my life and wish all these things I have done. And that's too late. I'm too old and I'm dying. And here is all these things I should have done but I didn't do. So now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to do something with your life. Don't wait. Don't put it off. If you're young, however young you are, you can make a difference in your own family. You can make a difference. You can decide in your own family that you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to do what's right. No matter what goes on in that household. And you can make a difference in that home where you live about what goes on about the work of the Lord. You can make a difference. And we've got to realize that. We're all individuals. We all have our differences about how we do things. Some people do things different from others. But we can all speak the same thing. We can all preach the same gospel. We can all hear the people in this world today. We can all let our light shine. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul's speaking to Timothy and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. Now I ask you a question. How are you going to get somebody to commit something that you're not committed to? Okay, we know Paul was committed to this, don't we? We know he was committed to serving the Lord, and so he could use that word commit to Timothy, because he was committed. But if I'm not committed, how am I going to tell my kids to be committed? You don't go to church on Sunday? How can you expect your kids to go to church on Sunday? If you don't pray, how can you expect your kids to pray? If you don't read your Bible, how can you expect your kids to read your Bible? You know, commitment is a little bit different sometimes than we think. So Paul tells Timothy, and he says, commit thou to faithful men. And what is a faithful man? Now, of course, this means a woman, too. Oh, brother, it is, I don't know if we stop sometimes to think about the importance of a Christian woman. How important it is. You know that old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the nation? Oh, it is so important. Our sisters. Oh, it is. So many things in the Bible said about them. Old Bible in new life. Women that serve the Lord. Women that fear the Lord. You know, Brother Daniel came to his prayer tonight, let us know the meaning of service. And you tonight, you sisters here tonight, you realize the important role that you have in the work of the Lord in this world. Someday your shoes are going to have to be filled. They are. Somebody's going to have to step in and fill your shoes, and you commit to the Lord now so you can tell other people to commit to the Lord also. When you talk to those children, those grandchildren, and those other people that look to you and depend on you and trust in you and believe in you, they see your life and they see your life change. So Paul is saying here, he says, commit back to faithful men. Gentlemen, are we faithful? Do you think you're a faithful man? Do you think you're a faithful woman? If I come to church on Sunday morning and I don't come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night, am I being faithful? What do I come? Don't have a way to come? Is that it? Not able to come? Is that it? I just don't want to come. Is that what you call a faithful man? You know, wonder sometimes about why we don't do things we do? Do we look for a reason not to come? You ever heard me tell a little story that I just made up one time in my head? I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, you know, think about this one. Sunday morning, before you and your wife get ready to go to service, one of the kids sneezed. And you say, oh, how did you hear that? Hear it, little John? Yeah, she said. He sneezed. I know. But he sneezed, he may be caught out or something. Oh, he's okay, she said. But you don't want to go, sir. You don't want to go to church. I don't know. You know, such and so-and-so church, he's pretty old, and he may give us something. No, no, he's okay. You think I better stay on with him? No, he'll be okay. You come on, let's go. You ever think about that something in your life like that? You look for some reason that you don't need to go. That's what the little song says. Everybody got to stay on and blow that poor child's nose. Faithful men. You say, we don't need to do that, do we? No, we don't. So Paul says to Timothy, he says, the things I have taught, the things you've heard of me, he says, you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach. Others also. Mm-hmm. So here we got Paul saying, he says, Timothy, he says, here's what I need you to do. What you've heard, and you know what else he said? The same. So we always tell the same thing. If you're going to make a cake the same way, you're going to go, what? A recipe. He says, 3 cups of sugar, you're going to put in what? 3 cups of sugar. Then you go on and got 2.5, you say, there ain't no salt, it's kind of like sugar, so I'm just going to have a cup of salt. Well, that's not going to work, is it? We need 3 cups of flour, but I don't have 3 cups of flour. Well, we need some cornmeal for a half a cup, but it's not going to work. See, it's got to be what? The same. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here. It's got to be the same, Timothy, that I told you, you can't go changing the recipe. You can't water it down. You can't make a difference. And brother, we've got to be very careful about that. The same. It's got to be the same. Who should be able to teach others also? Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And brethren, we don't endure the hardness they had to endure. Now, we may before we die. We don't know what we'll face before we die. But they went through some hard times. Hard times. He says, you endure this, whatever you go through. But he says in verse 4, remember this, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Because why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we get all wrapped up sometimes in things of this life. It may be politics, it might be hobbies, it may be some kind of sport, Well, you get all involved in it. He says, don't get involved in it. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now he says to him, Timothy, you got to go by the law. You get that? You can't go making up your own rules. And you can't change the rules. You got to do it lawfully. You got to do it according to God's plan. And always, sometimes we don't understand God's plan. Why he's doing things like he does, but he has a plan. And so if I'm going to pass it all, if somebody's going to fill my shoes, I've got to what? Commit myself, first of all, to doing what the Lord said. Haven't I? And I've got to pass it on to who? To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, let me ask you this right now. You think about these scriptures. Have you ever in your life made it a point to pass it on to somebody else? I mean, and you're very conscious of that because you know what's in your hands. You know what is important. And so you're going to pass on this word for word, just like the gospel is. You don't want to water it down, change the recipe whatsoever. And you want to pass it on to somebody that's going to be able to teach others also. Brethren, this is extremely serious. We don't know how long this world's going to stand. It may be here another 100, 200. We don't know. In fact, Jesus says only God knows when it's going to end. But we've got to pass it on. We cannot drop it. We cannot afford one generation without God. We can't afford it, baby. Oh, it's scary sometimes when I see the world that my children and my grandchildren are living in. My grandchildren are growing up in. In fact, she told me the other day about a sister up in we both know up in Tennessee. And I saw her recently during her Bible up that Ashrock. And she told me, she said, well, you know that she said she's not going to have any children. I said, no, I didn't know that. She said, no. She said she's not going to have children. Cause of the world, the way it is. And that's sad to think about that, isn't it? It troubles you sometimes as though things we have got to. We've got to pass it on to who? To faithful ones. They can teach others also. They need to know the recipe. They need to know that you can't substitute. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul talking here to the church at Galatia. And he says to them here, and notice carefully what he's saying to them. He says, I marvel, I'm surprised in verse 6 of chapter 1 that you are personally removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. He says, I can't believe what you've done, which is not enough, but there be some that trouble you who perverse the gospel of Christ. And then look at verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, if somebody ever called you accursed, Paul says an angel, you would tell an angel they're cursed. If they put something else to you. He said, even if we do, if you wonder about that, why would Paul say that? Well, Paul, I guess he's saying, you know, if I went off my rock or something, and if I told you something different than what I've already told you, he says, you let me be accursed. Don't you accept it. Don't you take it. Don't you believe it. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You know, he goes on to say in Galatians 3 and 1, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. So he calls them foolish that you shouldn't obey the truth. So better we want to pass it on. Somebody's going to fill your shoes. And when they fill your shoes, are they going to know what to do? It's up to you. It's up to me.
We've got to see the need. What are some things that we can do right now with our life to encourage others when they come time to fill our shoes? Well, in 2 Peter 1 and 10, Peter says, make your calling and election sure. Okay, now, sometimes we're not too sure, are we? We have hopes, you know, things. We feel like, well, okay, you know. A lot of times I've been worried, right, but sometimes, you know, I just kind of up and down. Remember Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea, what he said to them? He said, you need a cold nor hot. He said, I wish you were. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And you know, we kind of say that word about people. We just know somebody knows somebody's against us. We know they're against us. Against us. And be kind of lukewarm back and forth. And that's what he's saying there. Make your calling and election sure. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be in and out. Don't be up and down. Steadfast, unmovable. Feel like that's what you are? If you're going to pass it on, you're going to be committed, you have to be what? Steadfast. Aren't you? Can't be wishy-washy. You can't be committing the Lord. You can't be just like that. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. That's what he's saying to us. If I'm going to fill somebody else's shoes in the work of the Lord, I'm going to be steadfast. Is that right? Wouldn't you agree with that? I'm going to be committed to it. And we know what commitment is. And then let's talk about the Bible study. I want you to do something here. Put the word guard by that. Okay? Guard your Bible study. Guard your Bible study. You know what time of news comes on? The weather? I know what time it comes on. Back home. I don't know what the weather is. I know about 6:15, the weather's gonna come on. I don't know about the weather. We know things like that. Oh yes we do. I can tell you what, during Texas season, I know what time to be in the woods. I know what time to be out there. I know I don't want to be late because it'll be going to slow down. I know that. Careful to know that. I always set 2 o'clock. I'm serious. Oh, yeah. They want them to go off, but I won't hear it. No, I'll set 2. Why? Good. Because I want to be out there, sir. I'm guarding that time. I don't let that morning pass by. Okay? So what about my Bible study? You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. I think this is a very important point there about what Paul said. He said to Timothy, your first aim in life is to have God's approval. Your first aim in life is to have God's approval, and the way to get God's approval is to study, because then you know what he says. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we study, we rightly divide, and we accept what the Bible says. And when somebody fills our shoes, they will remember us because of what we knew. Because we studied to get what we know. I remember as a child hearing these preachers preach, and I think to myself, he knows so much about the Bible. How did he ever learn that? Well, he studied. That's what he did. He studied and he learned that. And we must do the same thing, baby. If we're going to make our call to election sure. This one here, I don't know. If I say I'm not my as I said. This to me I believe in my humble opinion is one of the most important things you can do is meditate. You ever get in bed and lay there and you can't sleep because you meditate, you're thinking about something? I've got a And I think if I don't get up and write it down, I'm going to forget it in the morning. You ever did that? I have. I've even had a notepad by my bed. I wouldn't bother so I could reach over and write down on the notepad enough of the word in the dark that I know what it meant the next day. It's so important to your Bible study. It is. It's amazing what it can do for you. It's amazing if you think about a scripture, just like you think in 2 Timothy I read tonight. What Paul said, commit thy to faithful men. That is such a deep scripture. And you know, I don't know if I've ever heard it preached on before. I've never preached on it. First time I've ever preached on it tonight. Never thought a lot about it. I got to think about that scripture. What Paul said there, the depth of that scripture. What he's saying to you, how important it is that you pass it on. You know, the Bible is a book. It's unlike any book. You read something, and you think, I never read that before. I think I've never read that before. I remember that scripture that Brother Bolden read one night. And probably less than 7 years ago, he read this book, it's 4:9, what Paul said, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, sitting there listening to that, and I thought, I've never heard that scripture read. I know I have. But it never struck me like Brother Bowen read it that night at Napoleon. And that may have been 15 years ago. But what Paul is saying, he says, the way I've lived, you live. And God will be with you. And friends, that's a powerful word. But I heard Billy Clinton say one time, he said, talking about this very scripture, he said, could you be on your deathbed, and the dearest person in the world be there standing by your bedside, and could you say to them, follow me? And I looked at Billy and I thought, saying a lot, ain't it? You live like I do. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:9. That's what Paul said. He said, you live like I live, you'll be okay. You think about what Billy said. The biggest person in the world saying by your bedside, and you'll say to him, follow me. If you'll be okay, if you live like I live. Anything will be fine. You don't go and be safe. You want to go about filling your shoes? Take heed unto thyself and the doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul said that very thing to Timothy. And we can see that when, you know, that we need to take heed to ourselves. And also to what the Bible says. Take heed to the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. You must do that. I'm sorry, 1:16. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this I shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. Brethren, if we're going to have big shoes to be filled, we've got to take heed to ourselves. We've got to see ourselves as we really are. And I know sometimes it's hard to do. Because we say things, we do things, and we didn't realize that, you know, we thought it was fine. But maybe it wasn't. We've got to take heed to ourselves. We've got to look at ourselves. The tone of our voice. You know, when you talk to your kids, how do you talk to your kids? As I grow older, I realize how precious children are. You know, God doesn't make junk. No, sir. He doesn't make junk. They are precious, precious that they are. But how do we talk to them? You know, we got a little dog at home. You actually tell that dog something. You should have been there on my tongue, shouldn't you? I talk to sleep that little dog. I can't. She'll have a little stuff because she wears a little thing, and she likes that kind of talk. Does she know it? Well, what about how you talk to your kids? They're teaching stuff. Watch for your words. Watch how you talk. Watch what you're saying. You want somebody to fit in your shoes in the right way. Don't you? You want to make some shoes and show them the right tracks. And they're going to remember how you talk to them. Let me tell you what. You can, one time, the wrong word, the wrong tone or whatever somebody, and you can hurt yourself or that person, especially to a child. They will remember it. They will. They remember what you said. Oh, I remember my kids still tell me sometimes some things I said when they were coming up. I don't remember that. But baby, you told us, you said it, or whatever. You know, I don't remember that. Well, you said it. Mm-hmm. So when I say things, it needs to be wholesome words, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it does. Take heed to yourself. And he says, take heed to the doctrine. Do you take heed to the doctrine? You say, yes, preacher, I do. Here's what I'm going to do. I set my Bible, and I meditate on my Bible. You don't know how to work, can you? Change. You know what changes? Because it changes your thinking, when it changes your thinking, it changes your behavior. That's what the Bible does to you. It changes people. Oh, it does. It'll change you. You say, and you know, tell, it's going to affect your thinking. It's going to affect your behavior. You're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better spirit. You're going to be a better child. You're going to be a better friend. It will affect your life. And when somebody falls in your shoes, they remember what you told and how you live. That's what I want to do. I want to inspire. I want to encourage you to do that. Because you're leading the Word. Oh, you are. I am too. Unless I'm here, the Lord comes back. I'm facing death. I'm looking dead in the face. We know, I know I'm going. You feel it to be ready? I feel it to be ready too. I don't want to be afraid on this day. I don't want to be afraid about what I should have done that day. I want to be fully aware of what's going on with me. When I press the line, well, I do. I know what Clifford Moore said. Some of y'all knew Brother Clifford. He died in 1998. I know what Harry said about Brother Clifford when we started looking there in 1978. In all of them. He said, Clifford is going to encourage you. And Harry had it right. Run through the set before he died. He had a stroke, had a heart attack. He hit the slopes, and he said, I'm going with a smile on my face. That's right. Take heed to yourself, take heed to the doctrine. Take heed to your words. In James chapter 1, in verse 26, James, listen carefully to what James says here about a person that's religious. If any man among you seem to be religious, and blindeth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, brothers and sisters tonight, if you are not blinding your tongue, your religion is worthless. That's what he says. That's what he said right here. If you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is no good. It's vain. Something is vain is no good. I tried in vain to save the man that fell out of the boat. What was I saying? I didn't do it. My efforts were worthless. I didn't do it. I didn't save him. He drowned. That's what James says. He says, you've got to bridle your tongue. Our religion is no good. You know, I've seen, I know one sister, I'm not going to bring her name up tonight. She's dead and gone on, man. But she was so careful about bridling her tongue. I remember so well being in her house and how she bridled her tongue. She watched her words. Very carefully watched her words. You see what she did? See, she didn't know I was watching her or listening. to what she wasn't saying. I guess she never thought about that. But she gave me an example to follow. So she gave me some shoes that they failed in the right way. Because she browned her tongue. Take heed to your words. 1 Timothy 3. Verses 9 and 10. Peter says, not rending evil for evil or railing for railing. You know what he's saying? Don't render insult with insult and hard words with hard words. You ever do that? You ever do that? You know, this sister up in some city talks about her husband, she can't argue with him. Her sister said this. She said, you can't argue with him. You're not going to argue with him. I said, okay, you're right, I'm sorry. That's right. Said, you can't argue with it. She said, she used to have a baby with him because she said something, you did something wrong. And I said, well, okay, you're right. Said, I won't argue with him. If he's fighting me, it's like he is. He's not rending insult to insult. He's not rending it. That's what he's saying. And we're trying to learn about this. We're going to bow our tongue, okay? But catalyze blessings? Uh-huh. Hard words, he said, say blessings. Say nice things. Knowing that you are there into a college, you shouldn't hear a blessing. For he that will love life and speak good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. He said, you don't love life and speak good days? He said, don't say evil things. That don't just mean cursory. We know that. We know that I'm telling dirty jokes. We know those things are evil. But he's talking about here of hard words, of harsh words. Evil things. And it's written, they speak no guile, and guile is deceit. Do not be deceitful. Now, I said yesterday, it might have been yesterday morning, and this is my thought. That's what I just said. As I lived in the garden, I thought, what's one of the hardest habits to quit? You know what I think? Lying. I do. I just came up and I said, you know, I believe that would be a hard habit to break. Because sometimes people learn it young, and you like to do it all the life. Deceitful. Exaggerating, that's lying. When you tell something, don't exaggerate it. Okay? Tell it like it is. You don't want to do that. We're talking about filling shoes now. So we don't want to be deceitful. Jesus was not deceitful, but he did not say it. He was not deceitful. No guile found in his mouth. And then number 5, humble yourself. Okay. What's that 5-letter word that we know so much about? What is it? Pride. You know, they call high blood pressure. They call high blood pressure the silent killer. You ever heard that? Man, that can be a foul killer right there, coach. You don't know somebody that has it. That's right. How they feel inside about other people. Because of their race. Because of what they have not got. Because of what you got, how you look. That's right. You say those signs and I'm hardly older than you, but there, you know, I don't know what you think of that. But, oh, I hate to see that on a car or something. Don't you? It's hard to be humble when you're the best. How sad. You know, things we just people. Laid out of dust. We're going to go back to dust. So body is, we're just people. Why are we mixing up with pride? It's all through the Bible. Oh, it's just all through the Bible. Pride is all through there. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. In James 4 and 10. James talks about this very thing. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. First Peter 5:6. Peter also talks about it. Only is there effect on the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Humble yourself. Are you? You know that pray? You do that? When you talk to the Lord, do you humble yourself? When you talk to other people, do you humble yourself? Are you humble? But did you describe yourself as an humble person? If you can say something somebody's got to do, this will be it. Because if you're humble, you don't serve the Lord. You believe that? If you're humble, you will accept God's way for your life. You will accept it. You will do what he says. You've got to be humble. You know, Jesus talked about that. Talked about that, but humble myself as a little child. Except you be converted and become as little children. And little children are humble. Oh, they are humble. They are forgiving. They're not haughty. They're not proud. And you may have a fine car. You may live in a fine house. You may wear designer clothes. You may have a lot of good food to eat. You may get to go on a big vacation every year, twice a year. God has blessed you. You thank God for it. But never, never have pride in your life. Always know where it comes from. Always realize it's a blessing of God. You know, Brother Harry and Brother Dan have been over the place. Just sat back. And they could stand up here tonight and no telling what they could tell you about what they've seen. And what goes on over there in Africa. You know, friends, I thought about tonight before I got here. You know, I know the church here at Mount Carmel is involved in that work. And that may be the greatest work that this church is involved in right now. For feeding those very little birds that are hungry. Oh, yes, sir. Now, let me tell you tonight, let me encourage you, don't miss your chance to be in on that. Oh, yes. I know other churches here involved in it, too. We got brethren that go there on the front line and see what's going on there on the front line. It's only, I can only imagine. Only imagine. Humble yourself. Resist the devil. And James 4:7. James talks there about resisting the devil. He says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Think of what it is. Resist the devil. Turn your back and run. Leave the devil. Resist him. You go out with your friend. We're all going to have a big time. We're going to get the beer out and we're going to get the dope out of whatever it is. You say, no, this is not for me. You call your mama, you call your uncle, your cousin, whoever, and you tell them to come get you and they'll take you home. Don't stay there. Do not stay there. Whatever you do not stay there. So many times, so many people got in so much trouble just by being what trouble is going on, just by being there. And you're grown up here tonight. You know sometimes you have the devil tempt you to. You know he does. Resist him. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Drawn out of God. He will draw out of you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. And then number 7, be content. Now this goes hand in hand with humility right here. Number 5 and number 7. How many of us tonight are content? Well, Donald Lund told you a story about the man didn't have a shirt. Told him yesterday. I told you can't come here. But that's such a good story. Now, tell me all that you need to hear that story, because I'm going to tell it again. It's such a good story. And it's so described so well, I think Donald told it himself that really quick. But Donald said there's this man, his king, and he was a very discontented king. And he went and talked and found out that they're not going to be content. And he said, "Well, go out to your kingdom and find a man that is contented and take his shirt and wear his shirt." So he went throughout the kingdom and trying to find a man that was content, but he didn't have a shirt. Didn't have a shirt. And you know, I thought so much about that story since you told Brother Donald. Because we have so much. And you know what we want? Well, a little bit more. Brother Pat shaking his head and breathing. He's been in the bank of business. He knows something. He knows. We all know, don't we? You remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 8? Listen to this. And having food and raiment. What now? And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, how many of us can do this? You think it's impossible to do? You think he put something in here we can't do? I don't believe he did, do you? I don't think he did. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Who's going to fill your shoes? What are they feeding in your shoes? If somebody had to describe you or me, what would they see in my life? Would they see a life in me or you? If you feel like serving God? Would it feel like they choose to fail you? Would they say, "Well, you know, when Brother Bass has gone, I mean, you know, we must have failed. Because he's not much part of the work." What? But if you want to be part of the work, don't you want to get the Lord's heart and do the work? Well, there's going to come a day we wish we had. There's going to come a day that we wish we'd have been in His heart and doing His work in this life. But brother, we have got to see the need now. We have got to see what our life can mean right now. What we can do right now with our life. And whatever it is that you're doing that's wrong, tonight you need to decide to turn it loose. It's like you cut a limb off a tree. You cut it off. You turn your back on it. You're living in an adulterous union with somebody. You walk away from that union tonight. You walk out that union tonight. You walk out of there. You don't do it anymore. If you're stealing, don't steal anymore. If you're lying, don't lie anymore. Whatever it is, it's wrong in your life. You turn your back on it tonight. You give it up. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You come tonight to be a Christian. Come tonight to be baptized. Confess that sweet name of Jesus by saying, "I believe that He is God's Son." Repent of your sins. Turn away from that sin. Tonight you can be baptized for forgiveness of your sin. You look at your life tonight and say, "Well, you know, preacher, it is not what it should be. My shoes is not going to be hard to fill in the Lord's work. But from now on, there's going to be something to it. There's going to be something to it from now on. Because I'm determined tonight, like that song says, I'm resolved no longer to linger. I'm determined tonight to do something with my life. And it's going to be serving God. It's going to be serving Him. I'm not going to wait anymore. But I've got to come back and then come back tonight and confess faults. Maybe that's a prayer. You do that tonight. Maybe you just want to sit there in your seat and think about what you've done wrong. It may be a private sin. You may just want to confess to the Lord as a Savior. And renew your life tonight for the Lord. That's fine. I'm not saying you've got to come for the congregation. It's not a sin of public nature. There's no reason for you to. Talk to a brother about it or a sister about it. Talk to them about it. Ask them to pray with you about it. That's right. Oh, yeah. but make it right. And make it good. Won't you come as we stand?